Hey guys, hi. Welcome to Reels & Records. I'm so sorry it took me so long to make this next episode. So, I made a list of excuses that I'm going to read off to you. One, school got very busy. It's almost the end of the semester now, and I got very behind for a little bit there, but we're back. And two, work got very busy. I was working too much almost every day. But yeah. And then three, spring break happened. That was a while ago. But it did happen. And then four, I got sick right after spring break and I couldn't talk. And most podcasts are actually all about talking. And so that was an issue. And then five, I had to do this movie justice. It deserves justice. The inspiration took a long time to curate and build up. But anyways, no more excuses. This is episode 15. My name is Macy, and you are listening to Reels & Records. Today's episode is about a phenomenal movie. It's a pretty life-changing one. Everyone remembers exactly where they were and when they've watched this movie for the first time. I do. I was sleeping on the floor of my childhood home when I watched it for the first time. We were cleaning it out and getting it ready for the next people to move in, and there was no furniture in the house anymore, so I was sleeping in a sleeping bag next to my little sister in the room that we used to share as little girls. The Perks of Being a Wallflower, the 2012 movie adaptation of the 1999 novel, both created by Stephen Chbosky. The Perks of Being a Wallflower stars Logan Lerman as Charlie, Emma Watson as Sam, Ezra Miller as Patrick, and Paul Rudd as Mr. Anderson. The score is from composer, producer, musician, inventor, Michael Brook, and the soundtrack was curated by Chbosky and the music supervisor, Alexandra Putsavas. The reason I say that Michael Brook is an inventor is because he developed a new instrument, sort of new, called the infinite guitar, which is basically a modified electric guitar that can infinitely sustain a note, which is very intriguing. The sound design in this movie is really powerful. It's what immerses you in the late 90s and puts, well, I guess it's early. It's what immerses you in the 90s. I don't know exactly. I guess it spans a lot. But it puts you in Charlie's perspective. There's a fantastic mix between diegetic and non-diegetic music. There are obviously iconic songs like Come On Eileen and Heroes, and all the songs played at the dance or in Charlie's headphones. But there's also a stunning and immensely emotional score underneath the movie. I want to start by talking about that score. The score is, as a whole, very ambient, and it takes the role of expressing Charlie's inner thoughts. Similar thing happened with the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack. Both are adaptations of books where the main character spoke in first person, and we could read all of their thoughts. When converted into a visual and audible media, there's no way of reading a character's mind. Luckily, in this movie, we do get a handful of Charlie's inner dialogue via letter and voiceover, but the music does a fair amount of the heavy lifting. The first track, called First Day, sounds like a quiet, nearly paralyzed nervousness, and then morphs into a more lighthearted take on First Day of School Jitters. And then it becomes more weighty, and it feels like the oscillating hints of grief within Charlie. It uses such unique sounds and noises, and to such an advantage. It's slightly electronic, but still holds on to a natural-sounding piano, and what I think might be a mandolin or something of sorts. This song perfectly introduces us to Charlie's psyche. Then the next track, which is called Home Again, starts with a soft and calm guitar. Underneath it, an ambient pad crescendos until it nearly overpowers that guitar, and in a way, it feels like the way that grief and trauma affect daily life continuing forwards. It's the noise in Charlie's brain overtaking his focus, and it's always in the background, just like that synth pad is. Track three, Charlie Speaks. This track is really sweet and a really heavy track. With strings and piano, it communicates a lot of Charlie's struggles and emotions. The melody is very reserved and holds back a lot. When the strings have the melody, they flow in and out of strength, representing Charlie's social skills, and even more specifically, his voice, like the title refers to. When the piano has the melody, it's very simple and slow, It sounds almost hesitant, like the piano can't decide if they should play or not, which resembles Charlie's social anxieties brilliantly. The next song, track 4, is titled Candace, after Charlie's sister. It begins as a very lively track, and it's very calming and uplifting. It sounds like some YouTube video that would be called royalty-free background music, calm and relaxing, 10 hours or whatever. But I don't mean that negatively, because I don't think it's as cheesy as those would sound. Charlie's Gifts is the next track, and it reflects a lot of the previous songs. The cohesivity in the score is very prevalent, because whenever the soundtrack is used, that's the key into Charlie's emotions. The sound has to be familiar in order for us to latch onto that meaning. The next track, track 6, is called Kiss Breakdown, and this track stands out a lot. They really put the strings to work here. They carry so much sentiment and intensity, and then it simplifies down to the piano melody that we keep hearing. And the piece continues in its peaceful and slow tempo, but its complexity is much greater than it sounds. There are layers and layers of strings creating these chords that immensely cue us into feeling. They are really full and hefty chords, and it plays with different variations, sixths and sevenths, inside of the chord to really draw out all of the possible emotions from Charlie and ultimately out of the audience as well. Later, the piece is backed by some droning synths and supporting bass notes that make the piece sound even fuller and even more despondent. It's so saturated with big, complicated feelings, which is what Charlie is going through, learning how to deal with loss and loneliness, how to digest and comprehend past trauma, even just how to adjust to high school and make new friends and navigate difficult new situations and relationships with the people that you're surrounded by. The music communicates the taste that experiencing all of that leaves in your mouth. Track 7, Acid, creates another standout moment in the soundtrack as well. Midway through the song, it kicks in and becomes something very new. A heartbeat becomes a soft drum. The synths have this new phasing tremolo filter on top of them. And then the familiar piano motif finds its way back into the music. The ending of the song, I think, sounds a little bit like the music they play in Chick-fil-A, which unfortunately, I can't even explain what that means to you. But I'm sure it makes sense to some. It's such a specific type of music. You just only know if you know. Track 8, Charlie's First Kiss, is track 8. Very similar to the overarching themes and motives throughout the score. It's sweet, but it's sad and lighthearted, despite holding a substantial amount of emotion. It sounds very contradicting now that I say it out loud. It's there, though, I swear. You just have to listen to it. Track 9, the last song in the soundtrack, is called Shard. As in, a shard of glass. Please do not mishear me on that. I'm saying shard of glass. This one is again very similar to the previous songs. It has that same beautiful quartet or chamber orchestra sound, and it continues to showcase that same leitmotif melody on piano. If it were any other soundtrack or any other movie, I'd probably get mad at them for using and reusing it so often. But because of the blend between curated songs and composed songs used in the movie, the leitmotif feels necessary to indicate that we're actively listening to Charlie's emotions in the form of music. Okay, now we are done with the score, so let's talk about the rest of the music in the movie. This is probably the most exciting part for many because they put together one hell of a soundtrack. It's Bowie, Cocteau Twins, Dexy's Midnight Runners, The Smiths, Sonic Youth, The Samples, New Order, Pavement, several more, but we'll go through most of them. So we're going to start with Could It Be Another Change by The Samples. This song is played over the opening credits and has lyrics that are perfectly paralleled to the story and a lot of its themes. It says, you can't love no one, you can't love something, you can't love nothing, you can't love anything till you can love yourself. Which reminds me a lot of when Sam says to Charlie, you can't just sit there and put everybody's lives ahead of yours and think that counts as love. Self-explanatory. It's the perfect correlation. Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. This song plays at the homecoming dance, and it is such a good scene. Charlie is away from the crowd, leaning against the wall of the gym, and then the song starts to play, and he sees Sam and Patrick start to do their routine dance, their living room dance, and he's frozen watching them, obviously trying to build up the courage to join. And then, the best part absolutely ever comes, and the song reaches that point where it slows down and the beat is just really strong and it slowly speeds up back to the normal speed. And as it's doing that, Charlie is slowly walking up to Sam on the dance floor, and his movements and the music are synced up so well that I get chills just talking about it. Sam and Patrick start to break him out of his shell, and now they're all dancing, and it's such a sweet scene. Next is Tugboat by Galaxy 500. I love this song a lot. It feels very nostalgic and captures the feeling of being young and new to everything, especially to feeling alive. And it plays after the scene where Charlie eats a brownie, and then tells Sam that his best friend killed himself while she's making him a smoothie, which is very abrupt. But the song has that heavy aftermath of a party essence to it, kind of bittersweet. Asleep by the Smiths. This is one of the songs that is on the mixtape that Charlie's sister Candace gives to him. It was a mixtape that her trashy boyfriend made for her, and of course has the Smiths on it. But it seems to open up Charlie's mind to make a mixtape for Sam, which becomes really important. Teenage Riot by Sonic Youth. This song plays when Sam and Patrick drop Charlie off at home after the first time they hang out. And the song is perfect. It showcases the differences between Charlie and his new friends. Their outgoing, punky, rebellious nature alongside his reserved and inexperienced one. The song begins slow and simple, but slowly morphs into a more upbeat and lively rock song. And it's the representation of Charlie's initial break out of his shell. Temptation by New Order. This is such a cool song. I've been listening to a lot of stuff with this same sound lately. A lot of Grimes and Sweet Trip and, you know, stuff like that. It feels so similar to being young and living for the first time ever. And it feels like summer and driving and nighttime. And I'm being so repetitive, but that's just how perfectly curated the soundtrack is. It's featured during the Rocky Horror Picture Show scene, and it's a part of the mixtape that Charlie makes for Sam. Seaside Yet Still Docked by Morrissey is the other song that plays during the scene, and it's also from Charlie's mixtape. It expresses Charlie's feelings towards Sam so well, with lyrics like, "Wish I knew the way to reach the one I love, there's no way. Wish I had the charm to attract the one I love, but you see, I've got no charm." Classic Morrissey. Next is Here by Pavement. I love Pavement. Plays when Charlie is kind of officially a part of the group, when he officially joins the group of his friends, and Patrick praises his ability to sit back and observe the world. It's when Charlie is first called a wallflower, and Charlie's never felt this sort of acceptance before, and I feel like that emotion is captured in the musicality, in the way that the song is musically configured. Next is Dear God by XTC. Dear God plays when we're hearing Charlie's inner monologue after finding out about Patrick and Brad. It's a fascinating song choice to juxtapose religion and queerness, especially with lyrics like, "Did you make disease and diamonds blue? Did you make mankind after we made you? And I won't believe in heaven or hell, no saints, no sinners, no devil as well, the pearly gates, no thorny crown, etc., etc." So it's really heavy aspect of this movie. There's so many underlying heavy aspects that honestly took me a couple watches. Since I watched it when I was young, it took me a couple watches to fully grasp a lot of the themes and a lot of the events that were going on. But I love how nuanced it is. Pearly Dewdrop Drops by Cocteau Twins. One of my longtime favorite songs. Pearly Dewdrop Drops plays during the montage of Charlie's friends graduating from high school and moving on to the next stages of their lives. There are so many bittersweet emotions here, especially for Charlie, who is staying behind and watching all of his friends grow up and be in a new part of their life and going far away and such. And also, despite it being one of my favorite songs, I've never even once figured out what they're even saying. So I looked up some of the words, and now I am kind of assuming that the filmmakers probably didn't know either. All in all, the song is chosen just for the vibe, as are all Cocteau Twins songs. I love it. Some other featured songs that we don't have time to deep dive into, but I want to mention are Low by Cracker, Air Beat by The Reavers, Counting Backwards by Throwing Muses, Pretend We're Dead by L7, Eternity With You by Robert and Johnny, Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House, and All Out of Love by Air Supply. So definitely look at those, check them out. Now that we've gotten through that, it's time for the most iconic song featured in a movie, possibly, maybe, Bjork reference ever of all time. Heroes by David Bowie. I read something really cool about the incorporation of this song, so here's the quote that I found. It says, one of the major changes Perks of Being a Wallflower made to the book when adapting the book to the movie. The original song is Fleetwood Mac's Landslide. However, which is a great song, by the way, it makes me feel like being a kid and like crying and like I need to go hug my mom. However, back to the quote. However, writer-director Stephen Chbosky chose the David Bowie song Heroes to play instead. His reasoning behind the switch was that he wanted something more bombastic to play, and he felt that Heroes fit better. End of quote. Heroes is the greatest, most triumphant song ever, and you just feel on top of the world listening to it. You feel exactly how they depict it in the movie, like you're standing up through the roof of a car driving through a tunnel, feeling the wind in your face, blasting a song that has a talent of instantly locking in memories. I always giggle every time they say that they wish they knew the name of the song or the artist and that they wish they could find it again after hearing it on the radio. It's too iconic in my brain to register that they might not know it. And it's also probably not too accurate seeing that it was the 90s and Bowie's been the legend he is since the 70s. And as if Bowie doesn't have the most recognizable voice of all time, but I don't want to think too hard on that. I don't care very much. I think it's silly. Some of the lyrics, I will be king and you will be queen. And we kissed as though nothing could fall. And the shame was on the other side. We can be heroes just for one day. Every lyric is perfectly relevant. And the music is so full of life. I'm so glad I got to talk to you about this movie. I love, love, love it. Love it. And it reminds me so much of myself and of my friends and of my past and of growing up while also showing such a unique perspective on life that's so valuable to step into. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll see you next time. I hope your music hits extra hard today. And have a good one. I'll see you next time. Bye.